All right, folks, we are going to just make a temporary adjustment in the agenda, unless there's any objection from board members, which there is not. just until we get the microphone recording fixed. So we're going to move toward the section of the agenda with the regulations that we have to approve to move forward. So this is in the back half of your board packets, and I think we're going to start with tab N. So that would be the COMAR on graduation requirements for public high schools in Maryland. Is that right, Ms. Gable? Thank you for being with us on short notice.
It is. So I am just making sure I'm grabbing everything. So I'm good. I'm good. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
So before you, the first, as you said, is graduation requirements for public high schools. This regulation is coming before you for adoption. It was posted. There were a number of actually minimal feedback that you have received from a few individuals, but nothing is significant that would change the regulation as has been proposed and put forward to you. So at this time, this regulation, which just corrected some language and took out scores that you've put in a policy memo. I think I've lost Mike.
Teacher voice.
I can do that. So I think you'll hear me. But I put forward the graduation regulation for your approval.
Very good. Okay. Is there a motion to approve this?
A motion to approve it.
All right. Is there a second? Okay, so Dr. Izzard with the motion and Dr. Steiner with the second. All right, any questions, discussion, comments?
The second, because I'm unable to find this in my packet.
Just comment?
Yeah, Dr. Finn.
I guess these aren't working. No. All right, I just want to note that later in the meeting, State Superintendent is going to talk to us about the progress that the department is making with respect to graduation in general and diplomas in general, and that this regulation that we are adopting essentially recodifies the current arrangement. So I want to just note that we're recodifying the current arrangement while expecting recommendations that will lead to changing it.
Right.
Correct.
Very good. And that process is probably going to start taking place this summer with the end of the high school task force report. Okay, any other questions, comments?
I'm just clarifying. So this is without cut score recommendations?
Correct.
For any of the?
Yes.
Okay, no further questions. All in favor of approving as is, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, so that was unanimous. All right, now we're moving on to Tab O, I believe this is on the test administration.
Right. This COMAR regulation, test administration and dating reporting policies and procedures comes before you. You have had this, have seen this regulation in the past, but we are requesting for permission to publish. This clarifies some language in the local school system. It also prohibits the use of electronic devices in testing rooms and other items that you see before you in actually in red in the regulation. And it also addresses the retention of archival documents, the accurate and timely collection and storage, and also the delivery of assessment results to parents and guardians by one or a number of methods. We are requesting your permission to publish this regulation.
Okay, a motion for approval of the publication of the regulation by Dr. Lee. Is there a second? Second by Pastor Phillips. Okay, questions, comments, concerns? Very good. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you so much, Mrs. Gable. Now we are on P, which is the 13A-120104 for options for obtaining initial Maryland certification.
Thank you. This particular regulation basically creates another option specifically a teacher transferring in who holds national board certification would get would be able to certify automatically through the process. It also, there's a little out of order here, you're going, which is fine, you're going to see another regulation that's coming before you that adds an adjunct certificate, but in order to do this, because of the Professional Standards Board and the procedures, we have to put that regulation in both places. So it specifically is asking for national board certification as a way of transfer, as a creating another option, and also adds the adjunct certificate, which has to go through this process, which I'll talk about when we get to that reg. And we are requesting permission to publish this regulation.
Excellent. Okay, is there a motion for approval of publication by Dr. Guyton, a second?
Second.
Dr. Hardings. Okay. Questions, comments, concerns, thoughts? All right.
Just a question. It seems to be alive again. Okay. Do I understand correctly that what we are in effect saying is that anyone that gets National Board certification can be automatically certified in Maryland?
Correct.
Without any other preconditions or requirements?
That's correct.
I guess everybody's on but me. Here we go. Just to clarify, these two, this one and the next one for adjunct certificate, are coming from the teacher, the tier group. These are some of the recommendations that we're starting to see to make changes. So just wanted to bring that to the board's attention.
Okay, so this is a motion to publish. I think we already have a first a motion and a second. So all in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Very good, that was unanimous as well. Okay, now on to, I believe we're at R now, which is 1201081, the adjunct certificate. This is permission to publish as well.
Skipped over
I think
Q.
We need Q. Q.
Stand by.
General requirements.
General requirements for professional certificates.
Correct, 1201085, excuse me, please.
Thank you. This one also comes from the TIRA group and also from ESSA and our input. This is in particular for individuals from trades and industry. For example, if an auto mechanic who would not require a bachelor's degree, this gives the individual who is applying for this the ability to present credits in lieu of passing assessments. So they would be able to present 3 credits in mathematics or 3 credits in, and 3 credits in English language arts of passing an assessment in these areas. These individuals may have been working in their field for a long time and coming out of the, in order to provide our students with the expertise in this particular area. Thank you. We are requesting your permission to publish this regulation.
Very good. All right. Is there a motion to move forward with the publication? Dr. Izzard, is there a second? Dr. Lee, very good. Questions, comments, discussion? Dr. Finn.
This is not the adjunct. This is something different from the adjunct?
Yes, it is.
This is for...
I can just clarify, the adjunct is for someone in high technology who may be an electrical engineer is coming in, that would be the adjunct. This is for an individual who would be hired by the school system. For example, in a vocational technical program, I gave the example of auto technology, who would be a teacher. And there has been this requirement that they pass an assessment that has been somewhat of a block. For those individuals, so it gives them the ability to take a course in each of those two areas.
Do you know what assessment they have been unable to pass?
Sarah does.
Oh,
Sarah,
good.
Would you come up,
I said somebody get Sarah. So
Sarah's behind you.
So she was expecting to come up this afternoon, and
always on the
you.
Spot. Thank you.
I was behind the pole.
Yes.
The Praxis Core, which is testing reading, math, and writing.
Dr. Steiner, is that a high bar?
No.
So we're saying that people that can't pass the easy Praxis in reading and math by taking a course in reading or math will be deemed adequately prepared in reading and math?
I want to clarify two things. One, in the current regulations for these individuals and these professions coming into the teaching field, these individuals do not have to have a bachelor's degree. And as we have discussed previously, our Praxis Core, our Praxis Test, the SAT, all the alternatives that we offer to that are to determine whether or not someone is ready to go into a four-year program. So these are individuals that came out of high school, went into a trades and industry, have been working in a trades and industry profession, and are coming because they want to teach in that industry. So they're coming with a background that is different than a traditional teacher. So yes, we're looking for an option for them to be able to show that they have the basic reading and math requirements necessary to be in a classroom. So it would be an alternative to either the SAT, GRE, ACT, or the Praxis Core.
I mean, I am all in favor of encouraging people with this kind of expertise to be able to be hired and teach in our schools, but it does strike me that we might reasonably expect them to be literate and numerate also, especially literate if they're going to be teaching.
I think Dr. Guyton and Dr. Steiner.
Sure. I actually know some of the
background for some teachers who have been affected by this issue, and I know at least one who was an excellent sort of master technician in his field was not able to teach because he had disabilities, and there aren't accommodations that would help him take the practice. So that's just one example. So I see the point of this. However, what's not specified here, at least I don't think so, is the fact that you say examples like specialized professional areas and professional tech. I would also like to have something in the regulation that shows that there's actually a need, a shortage of teachers in these areas before we would go to this next tier. Is that something that's been considered? I mean, because I can see doing this in areas of study that where we really don't have anyone else teaching them, but if there is a qualified teacher who can pass the practice, then I think we'd want to give preference to that teacher.
Right. And I can share with you, while I don't have the numbers right here, that these are, areas of shortage that are currently happening. We also have received several letters from our local school systems and from the Harford County delegation indicating that they are losing these teachers at a rate because they can't pass it. So they get a teacher to come in on a conditional certificate because there's no other qualified individual. They have 2 years to pass the test in order to get the next conditional renewal. They're not able to do it, or the teacher at point nine months is like, I've tried taking the test, I'm not successful, I have to provide for my family. So they are resigning, and then the school system is left either A, putting in a long-term substitute into that program to teach automotive mechanics, or they're having to shutter the programs for their students because they can't find a qualified individual. I can tell you, I passed the Praxis Core. I used to have a print shop in one of the programs I ran. While I could pass the Praxis Core, I was absolutely not qualified to go down and run the equipment or the machinery to do that. So I just, this has come after long deliberations and long discussions from our constituent group. We're looking if there are alternatives to also add to it, but your question, should it be in a shortage area or an area that's unable to be fulfilled? Absolutely. I can tell you they're not filling the positions.
Dr. Steiner?
So I'm just trying to get a sense of what they can and can't teach. Can you, in other words, what are they allowed to teach? What are they not allowed to teach?
They would be certified only in that, in that trades or industry area. Because they do not, most of these individuals do not come in with a bachelor's, I don't want to say all, they wouldn't be eligible for an endorsement on any other certificate area because all of our other certificate areas require a bachelor's degree. So it's giving them permission or the certificate in order to teach automotive mechanics, print is no longer, I dated myself with that example, print shop, carpentry, culinary arts, to name a few.
So we're not going to be back here in a year worrying about the fact that, short of teachers in general, a district pulled them into teaching math.
No, because they don't even meet the basic requirement of a bachelor's degree.
I think Dr. Harding's.
Yes, so maybe to help us understand more broadly, what other instruction or requirements would these individuals have before they're put into a classroom? I mean, is the idea that somebody works as an auto mechanic, makes a career change, and now we put them in front of students? There must be other things that go on in between, and I think understanding just very briefly what those things are might help me and some of my colleagues feel better that we're just not pulling somebody off of a shop floor and putting them in a classroom.
You're absolutely right, and because you changed it, I didn't grab my certification regs. There are several options. I believe there's either three or four options for coming in this way, and all of them require professional experience. And the lower the degree level, the higher the professional experience goes in order to be certified in that area. So it's not just someone that has a bachelor's degree that has never, that's a little scary, that has never been an automotive mechanic, I'm going to use that as an example, is coming in. I believe the barrier is 5 years of experience, but please don't quote me on that without my regs right in front of me.
I don't think that, to be fair, was quite the question. We're not worried about how much auto mechanics they've had. The question is, do they have to demonstrate any teaching ability? Can they literally walk off their auto mechanic job and into the classroom?
I would have to go back and look, but I believe it's based on experience.
I'm not prepared to vote on that.
I'm not prepared to vote on this.
Dr. Sard.
Am I on?
You're always on, Stephanie.
I am on.
You're always on.
I am always on. That is true. I'm going to push back a little with you guys on this because there is a shortage. And my auto mechanic, he may not can pass a practice, but he is literate and he can use numbers. And I think sometimes because of our level, we're thinking at a certain level. I'm pretty sure that, and I've seen this, their expertise in their area. And I feel like our kids are losing out because those of us who may not have experience are the understanding that you cannot have that bachelor's and still contribute to education. And I don't want to deny that or cut even a course out because there are people that want to fill the job, but they're not able because of that background. So I just want us to keep that in mind. We're not putting someone illiterate. Again, my auto mechanic is really awesome. He can do things I cannot do. So let's not totally dismiss this.
Dr. Guyton, then Dr. Steiner, we got to finish figure out how to move
I think
ahead.
I'm in between these two views, perhaps. Well, I have no problem with an exemption from the practice exam if there's a shortage area, but I do think that we need to make sure that they have at least a mini course on actually how to interact with and teach kids.
Okay,
and that's the part I think that you're missing that we're not real comfortable with.
I agree with that. Look, I have the privilege of being in university with some Nobel Prize winners. I would not put them in front of 9-year-olds or 14-year-olds. They may know more physics than the rest of the world put together. They are incapable of teaching. So it's not about knowledge. It's about the practical skill of teaching, which is a special skill.
If I just need to clarify one other piece here that we're clear moving forward. This is one. The way our certification regulations are set up, which we have already said need to be looked at holistically, this is one section. These are the general provisions for certificate holders, and all that we're seeking in this area is to waive, or not even, well, I guess waive,
amend.
The test, amend it, so that the test, in addition to the test as being an option, is to allow the credit in 3 credits in English language arts and 3 credits in math to be accepted as well. This is not the regulation that is specific to the day-to-day requirements for the issuance of a certificate in that area. There is an entire section in the teaching section, section 2, that lists all of the requirements for each of the options for an individual coming in to teach in this area. So this is only talking about adding as an option for this field a course basis. It is not looking to change any of the current requirements for acceptance or issuance of that certificate. And there are several options, and I would have to get them because I don't want to misspeak on those.
We need to know what they are.
Yeah, I think this is a meaningless regulation. I mean, anybody can pass two courses in some college by paying tuition and then getting a C. We might as well say just get a high school diploma.
Okay, can I suggest, just based on the comments here, there seem to be sufficient comments that we table this and the advice we've given here, but then if other board members want to add additional, that perhaps you can bring this back to us next month. Dr. Salmon, does that work?
Well,
yes.
You want to talk about how this cross affects?
Absolutely.
PSCAB involved with these regulations as well as the state board. So yep. Just so the state board understands that there's that back and forth.
So we were starting here with the state board. There is the possibility that PSTAB will address this. I need to share with you in full disclosure, as Mary introduced, this is an issue that has been brought to us and tabled for further push from our communities because of the work of the TIRA group. So this is something that has been on PSTAB's radar because of the points that have come from the various letters from our legislators saying that our school systems are unable to continue to offer these courses to do that. So while I can bring this back, it may be coming back to you with additional language and stuff from PSTAB or input from our outside communities.
So be it.
I think we just need the answer to the question that we were posing. You say that these other regulations are part of the certification process.
Absolutely.
And I think if we had those, if somebody ran and got that regulation right now and you could read that to us, we might be more comfortable passing. I mean, that's just my sense of things. But we need to make sure that those.
Well, we can always come back to that. We can let
Sarah
come back
to that. Yeah, you don't have to necessarily wait till next month.
I can go back to. I just
double check.
I was running up because of the switch of the change.
All right, and so I want Sarah to go ahead and do the adjunct teacher because it's also in the same situation with PSTAB, and I want to make sure we were trying to give the board first view of these to make comments, and so I just want to make sure we get her expertise on this next one as well.
Okay, so this is adjunct certificate. This is 1201081.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
You probably recall with the adjunct certificate that this is an entirely new certificate that we've talked about over the course of the past year and a half. For those very high-tech areas, whether it's nanotechnology or the principal violinist coming from the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra to teach in an area, this is geared as a part-time certificate for individuals that want to give back to their community and come and teach a particular class or course at a local school system and is not looking to leave their profession at Lockheed Martin or the Symphony to become a full-time teacher. So this regulation, again, the language from this regulation is directly from the recommendations of the TIRA work group. It outlines It outlines the specificity for the eligibility criteria, what the local education agency would be responsible for providing to the individual that's in this capacity, and limitations to this certificate, that it would be non-transferable, it's only good for 1 year, it can be renewed, and it must be issued by MSDE, not by a local school system CAP. You'll see the eligibility, a minimum of a bachelor's degree, industry licensure where applicable for that profession, 5 years of experience in the field to be able to come in.
Okay. Is there a motion?
No, I have a comment.
Let's do the motion first and then move to comment. just for the sake of rules. So do you want to do anyone?
So move.
A second?
Second.
Okay, so Dr. Finn and Dr. Harding's. Okay, discussion. Dr. Steiner.
So the language here is a little bit odd. It says local education agencies would be required, which I take to be a very strong standard, to provide the following, and then it says the opportunity to participate. So this is not the requirement to participate in side-by-side coaching. There's the requirement to offer an opportunity. That's weird. Why isn't it a requirement to provide the opportunity to actually do it? Why is the requirement not to get the coaching as opposed to offer the opportunity to get the coaching? That means you don't have to.
Well, in working with our legal team on this, what I read this as is that the individual has the opportunity to be provided that side-by-side coaching.
But doesn't have to get it.
To participate in side-by-side coaching.
But he doesn't have to get it, or she. In other words, you can, again, go straight from the industry into teaching with no practice at teaching and no mentorship.
They have to have a mentor.
They require to provide a mentor, but there's no requirement to actually do any. I don't understand.
They're required to have a mentor.
But the mentor's
not
required.
They have to have a minimum of 45 hours of professional development, with 30 hours delivered prior to entry into the classroom, and the remainder to be delivered throughout the school year. They have to have evaluations of teacher effectiveness, and then the local can choose to offer side-by-side coaching and or co-teaching with a professionally certified teacher. But they have to have the mentor, the 45 hours,
this is just a one-year
and be effective.
Right.
Dr. Lee?
I just want to say that I, in personal experience, I know people that would like to do this that work at NIH and do have a lot to offer. And I guess I would like to see a way that we can make this work, either edit the terminology. But I also feel, maybe I'm misguided, but I feel like I'm putting some confidence in the local schools to pick good people and not pick people that can't teach. And they can see that probably within the first few weeks of whether they can manage a classroom. But assuming that there is some requirement and understanding that they have to have some introduction, I think these people would be motivated to also take some of that training because they don't want to fail, and it's a scary thing to go in front of a classroom full of kids and be interesting and entertaining.
Absolutely.
Okay, so where does that leave us? Additional questions or comments?
I think we have to find a way to do something like this, because particularly at schools that focus on the arts, I mean, there's a couple of art schools, and boy, there's a wealth of resources of fantastic artists who might want to come in and have a particular expertise to teach a class in, you know, something in musical theater or some particular type of dance or something that I know there's a demand for it, and particularly in the sciences as well. So I think we need to find a way to, if we need to clean up language, let's clean up language, but I think we need to find a way to do this.
Yeah,
so I'm prepared to go forward with what's here.
Okay.
And this is only the permission to publish. So if we need to clean up those details when we finally, then we can do that.
Is that satisfactory to all of you? Okay, so we have a motion and second. If there's no more discussion on this, so all in favor of moving towards publication, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any abstentions? Any dissent? Okay, very good. That was unanimous as well. Is that? Personnel, 120304.
Permission to publish. Mm-hmm. The permission, this one's a little bit different because this is not coming out of the TIRA work group. This is going back to the traditional way. This is a regulation for the pupil personnel worker. Do you have that right there for me? Thank you. For the pupil personnel worker, PISTAB has already met and discussed this, has given permission to publish. What it's doing is eliminating the need for the waiver. When the regulations previously changed, pupil personnel workers
as it currently reads, need to have experience as a teacher. It eliminates individuals coming from the specialist area, such as a school psychologist, from becoming a pupil personnel worker because they don't have the 2 years of teaching experience. So what this does is it eliminates that piece of it.
We were traditionally giving waivers all the time for that.
So move.
Okay.
Second.
So we have a motion from Dr. Finn, second from Dr. Guyton. Questions, comments, concerns? Very good. Okay, all in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I'll bring the other information back to you under my report later.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Very good. Okay, so we're through with the regulations.